Well, it's a very good evening and welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's programme, we'll be hearing from Niall O'Regan, FAI's Head of Coach Education. This weekend, the FAI's Women's Football Conference is taking place in Letterkenny. Gary Duffy previews Buncrana Hearts FAI Junior Cup clash. The Donegal Under-20s start their season against Derry on Saturday. We hear from manager Leo McClune. Donegal hurling manager Mickey McCann talks to us ahead of the county's trip to London. Plus, Mark Alcorn reflects on his Galway Rally success. It's all part of the Score programme. Tonight it's going to be another busy show as we look at all those various sports and things that are happening now over the coming days. But we're going to start with Gaelic Games and the Donegal Under-20s start their Leo Murphy Cup campaign on a Saturday against Derry. The county won the competition last year but lost out to Tyrone in the championship. Leo McClune has taken charge as manager, having stepped up from coach last year. The new Connell man has Eamon McGee, Colin McFadden and Oney McGarvey on his backroom team this year. I've been speaking with Leo ahead of the game with Derry and about the structures that is needed to keep players on course to progress through the age groups to senior football. As we know, Carol Lacey stepped down last week as head of academy in Donegal, and just today, the majority of coaches, apart from Leo and under 17 manager Luke Barrett, are remaining in their positions because their season has already started. Leo says it's disappointing what's happening at the academy. Before we actually talk about the game on Saturday, listen, there's a lot going on this week in relation to the academy. Carol Lacey stepped down last week. There was a press release came out from the coaches and the support staff today that they're all resigning. The thing is very much up in the air at the moment. What's your thoughts on it, Leo?
I suppose from our point of view, it's a bit disappointing, all right, that things have gone this way, you know, and it's disappointing for myself that I suppose Carol stepped away, because Carol would had a big influence in my involvement in the last number of years, and you know, getting involved with the younger teams, and I suppose it's disappointing you know, that he stepped away, and I suppose the rest of the academy also in terms of, you know, I suppose not quite sure on the ins and outs of the whole thing, but it's just disappointing, I suppose, for Donegal GAA.
So then, looking ahead to the game, Carl, this coming weekend, Derry is the opposition. What's the preparation been like, just as you've been trying to, I suppose, organise your team around getting a competition underway? Because there's been a lot of other things happening, be it college football has been going on over the last number of months as well.
Yes, definitely it's been difficult there, especially the past month approximately. You know, there was a lot of people playing freshers football. You know, there's a lot of students and a lot of our boys students in the LYIT, or ATU Donegal as it's now called, and freshers and Sigerson teams. So that there, you know, it was a lot of juggling going on there, and a lot of young lads playing a lot of football. But, you know, thankfully now for our sake, it's all tied up now, and they're in with us, and we have our panel settled, and I suppose we're kind of cleared up a few injuries in the last number of weeks also, and you know, things are starting to look good for us.
Yeah. In relation to your panel, were you able to keep many of the players that were involved in that team that won the Leo Murphy Cup last year and got as far as the championship semi-final?
We only have probably about 6 or 7 that we managed to hold on, panellists from last year. A lot of boys were overage and have moved on, and actually, gladly, you know, they've made the step up to the senior team. You know, a lot of the boys are involved in the panel there now, and I suppose that brings ourselves, you know, we like to see them going on and doing well for their county, and it brings us a bit of enjoyment, you know, to see that we've given them a platform to improve and get better and make the step up.
Yeah, and I suppose as well for the players that have come out of that minor age group, they're now maybe on the fringes of the under-20s. Is there many of those that have been sort of kept in this circle and kept evolving in the player pathway?
Yeah, exactly. Now there's a lot. There's a great season last year, and we'd hoped at the start of, when I went in at the start, that we'd hoped to hold a development panel. You know, and I promised a lot of boys that, you know, we were picking a 33-man panel when we came in, because we had, obviously, but we had a lot of good young players that just needed development, if you know what I mean, you know, physically especially. They needed a lot of development, and we kind of promised them that, you know, we would make a development panel, and just the way things have gone with the academy at the minute, we were unable to do that, you know, so it was disappointing in that, and I suppose I made a promise to a lot of lads that I couldn't keep then, you know. So, but other than that, like, I mean, you know, there's about 7 or 8 lads that stayed on from last year, and they're really pushing the thing on at the minute, thankfully. So it's good that way.
Yeah, and I suppose it's back to the point when you mentioned the academy, Leo, that how important it is that we have structures in place for academy players at underage, so they're sort of kept in this routine every year and the development to making a senior footballer.
Ah, yeah, well, that's it exactly. I suppose, you know, there's a brave gap in terms of time between an under 17 player and under 20. You know, and a lot can go right or wrong for a lad in those 3 years. And you know, sadly, we've seen both ends of it. We've seen lads that have fallen off in those years, and I suppose we've seen lads that maybe really improved in those years. So I suppose kind of keeping the structure there for them is important, you know, while they enjoy their club football, which is very important also. But, you know, maybe keeping them, you know, at a high level, and maybe, you know, having them the best strength and conditioning programs, nutritional plans, etc. You know, it's important for them, you know.
Yeah, and looking ahead now to the opposition this weekend, Derry, of course, one of the sides that are always there or thereabouts come the end of the competition at under 20 and minor level. Derry will be a stern test, will it, at the weekend for you?
Ah, yeah, definitely a stern test. I think they're champions at under 17 level, like this group of players, and I know they've a few lads involved with the seniors, which maybe shows their ability. But we're kind of keeping our own house right, and we're kind of looking to see where we're at on Saturday, and kind of see what level we're at, and suppose kind of, you know, gauge it from there, and just trying to keep improving the lads. You know, should it be physically or from a coaching point of view that we're trying to improve them and get them better, and, you know, be ready really for Antrim, yeah, at the end of March.
Yeah, you mentioned Derry players being around the seniors. You obviously have Luke McGlynn, is that right, Leo, who's part of the 20s?
That's right, yeah. Luke's went up there with the seniors in the last couple of months, and he's doing well by all accounts. He came on against Kerry and obviously kicked a good score. You know, he's a great young talent for the county, and we hope to be him back in with us as soon as possible, you know.
Yeah. So once again, very exciting times for young players. They always like to pull the jersey on. It's how long ago was it since you were playing underage football for Donegal, Leo?
God, I'd say our last was under 21s, the time we won with Jim. We won Ulster with Jim again. I think it was 2010.
Yeah.
We sadly got beat in the All-Ireland final against Dublin. You know, and it was a lot of both teams would have went on to play for their senior teams and won All-Ireland. So luckily it was part of them groups.
Yeah, and now you find yourself in a coaching and managerial position. Coach, obviously, with Gary Duffy last year, but you've stepped up to the hot seat, the big seat this year, Leo. How have you found management, and how's the management side of things compared to coaching?
Yeah, I suppose it's I've kind of opened my eyes in the last number of weeks, you know, in terms of what you know, different small things that had to be dealt with, and I suppose the organisation that's involved. I suppose for a number of years with Donegal, I've been just arriving to training, just ready to train as a player, you know, and another hand then the last couple of years I've been just arriving there to coach. You know, but I think from a management point of view, there's a lot more you have to put in place in order to even get to training. Before you get there, you know, there's lots of different physios to work with, strength and conditioning coaches, you know, there's so much more to it. And I suppose that was a kind of a shock to me. But no, I think coming to terms with it now and getting plans in place, and luckily enough, I have a great team around me, and I'm very happy with the management team I have around me. So things are starting to come together.
And obviously the management team, Eamon McGee, Colin McFadden and Oney McGarvey's in there as well. Three guys that know a lot about what they're doing.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, I suppose that the experience is there with all of them. And like, I mean, we get on very well and we work very well together. I mean, there's no egos, if you like, and I suppose we don't be afraid to call each other out if we feel we're right or wrong. And I think that's a good place to be in a management team. And we're enjoying it at the minute, and I feel we're starting to have a good impact on coaching on the young lads there, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Just finally, then, what's the hopes for the year then, Leo? Where would you like to be come the end of the competition at this age group with Donegal?
Ah, listen, hey, we'd be not looking past each game, obviously, but it'd be lovely to get an Ulster final. You know, we've seen how close exactly, but I mean, the All Ireland champions put us out last year after extra time. You know, so I mean, looking at that, Donegal football's not far away. You know, and I suppose if we could get an Ulster final, you know, it'd be brilliant. It'd be great for our lads and be a great lift, you know. And and saying that, like, we'll not be looking past any game, but it'd be lovely to get to an Ulster final.
Yeah, sure would. Well, listen, the very best of luck to you and the management team and the rest of the players for the season ahead, and obviously the opener against Derry this weekend. Thanks for talking to us, Leo.
Thanks a million, Oisin. Cheers.
There you go, that's Leo McLoone, Donegal's under-20 manager, looking forward to the season opener against Derry this weekend. Time for another commercial break here on Highlands Score programme on this Thursday. And when we return, we'll be talking rallying with Mark Alcorn.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Recover from the toughest sessions with foam rollers and massage guns, or find your flow with the latest yoga mats and blocks in store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
And you're welcome back to the Score programme. 20 minutes past 7 o'clock. We're turning our attention to motorsport, and joining me in studio is the man that won the two-wheel drive modified section of the Galway International Rally last weekend. That's Mark Alcorn. Mark, you're welcome to the studios of Highland Radio.
Thanks, Oisin.
We have to mention John as well. He was sitting on board with you. He's more important things. He's a meeting to attend to tonight, so he couldn't join us. But you two had a great experience in the car at the weekend.
Yeah, it was a great experience. It was a nice one-to-one, and we were waiting on it a long time. So it was.
We were talking there, the Corolla. I thought it was black, but you told me it was red.
Yeah.
2005, so it's been a while, Mark.
It's been a long time since we started on the red one, myself and Kevin. But then the black one come, the bigger engine, and now the new red one.
The new red one, and the red one performed very well for you over the weekend, Mark. You were telling me there was only one wee mark on her.
Yeah, small mark on the wing, yeah. So another wee bit of fixing, but nothing serious, no major damage.
Yeah, I think you laid down a marker, did you, on the Saturday, which was stage two, when you took 7 seconds out of Kevin Eaves. Everybody within rally knows that Mark Alcorn's quick, but you blew Kevin away by 7, which was a bit of a statement. A lot of the guys perked up, so they did, but it didn't take a fizzle out of you.
No, I didn't. I wasn't, when he said 7 or 8 seconds, I wasn't really panicking about it. Like, we had that kind of pace in Donegal against Kevin, so it's always nice when you take 7 seconds off Kevin, because Kevin is outstanding, like, on the stages, and he's never far away. Like, he never drops a stage unless something happens to him. So I was happy inside myself, but I wasn't going to let it get to me, and I was just there to do a job, and thankfully everything went a wee bit smoother this weekend than any other weekend. Yeah.
And in saying that, is it difficult to keep just to what you're doing yourself within the car and try and blank out what everybody else is doing, Mark?
Yeah.
Because you are racing at the end of the day. It's all about times, like.
Oh, it's all about times. But when you're in the car there, I don't really think about any other times. Like, I'd be worried more about my side of the car and worried not to have put in a bad time or something like that there. So no, I do my own thing, and I don't worry really what's happening outside the car. I kind of I kind of figured that out a couple of years ago. You can't do nothing about anybody else. You just have to worry about yourselves.
So. Yeah, you are a very relaxed partnership, you and John, and that was evident with the videos and the films and the social media stuff we were seeing at the end of the stages.
Yeah, we were very calm. We only fell out once on the whole weekend. When we were starting to warm up tires, but no, we're calm in the car. Hey, everybody thinks we're two nutters, but when it comes to that kind of sport, like you have to have a very serious side to it, like, you know, and take it very, very, you know, have a great approach to it, and don't approach it in the wrong way. It's not a funny sport. It's very dangerous times. So everything has to click in the car, like with you. So.
What was clicking with you in the car and John when you were able to pull the likes of 7 and then against other competitors, maybe 10, 12, 14 seconds out of some guys? Because that car was really on its limit, so it was.
Our recce was very important. Like if you've seen our notes, we pulled out all our notes and redone them. We used all the distances and all your markers, but we really redone the notes and speeded it up just the way we wanted it, and that's normally what the two of us do anyway. Like we put it down to what we like on the stages, and that we had a really good set of notes for that rally. So
yeah. What was it like on the Sunday, trying to get the car home, just be sure that you get it as far as the finish line? Because you had a healthy enough advantage going into the day. And listen, Galway's a really, really tricky rally because conditions at times are horrendous. We've seen that on Saturday and on Sunday. And when the heavens open, they come down really, really heavy. So it's a difficult one to navigate, sort of.
Listen, Sunday was a very, very tricky day. Listen, you had... We hadn't much of a lead on Sunday morning. We had a slip up on Saturday evening, which dropped us back into the claws of them. Like we were only about 31 or 32 seconds in the lead, which is not a lot when you're into slippy stages and maybe a spin. Sunday, that was our plan. I had actually planned earlier in the morning. I said, we'll push a little bit and try and see where the rest of them are, because we knew Kevin was out and we might have been able to drag a couple of seconds here and there off them. You know, even though they knew the stages a lot better on Sunday, we didn't know them at all. Like, so that worked then, and we stretched out a real good lead then up to around 50 or a minute before the last loop.
Yeah, and you get into the last loop and you go through it safely. What was it like at the end of the stage and that sort of road, the road miles then between coming off the stage and heading back to the Connacht Hotel? Because yeah, all of a sudden, having tried for so long, you've got it now, Mark. You've won an international event, yeah. A modified and an escort.
Yeah. Listen, when I crossed the finish line and John says, yeah, we've done it, I was a wee bit emotional in it, but just for about 2 or 3 seconds, and then it was like back to normal. Like when I met everybody, and Brian McDade was there at the end to take a few videos and a few pictures, and we had a good gang there at the end. So it was a wee bit emotional, but at the same time, that when that passed, like it was like, yeah, we've been here before. We didn't get it, but we knew it had to come sometime, so yeah. it was brilliant tonight. It was highlight.
Super stuff. But what comes now off the back of this, Mark, so it is that people are going, right, Mark Alcorn's now the man to beat in 2023.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm hoping. Like, I want to put a bit of pressure on myself, and I want to be able to go out in the Midlands now, and I know there's people texting me already from up the country saying... We want to see more faster times from you, and that's what I want to do. I want to try and set down a marker now when the thing is hot.
So there's more in the tank then?
Oh, geez, I hope so, definitely. Like, I know there's more inside me. I know I was quicker when a few years ago and on the Corolla, so I don't know why I can't take it. Yeah. Take it all out of me and onto the escort now.
Yeah. Well, listen, you're doing the national championship from here on in, isn't that correct? John. John's going to call the notes. John's focusing elsewhere, is it?
John's focusing on the tarmac championship. Yeah. So he's going to West Cork, and that's a few weeks after, 2 weeks after Midlands. So he's going to have it a wee bit hectic there. But we're going straight now into the Midlands, myself and John now, and we're going to sit down tomorrow. And he was just ringing me before now, or before we landed in here, just to say we're going to sort stuff out now for that. So
yeah, what happens come Donegal? I'm sure if I was to say to you now, Mark, you would love to be national champion. Would you take being a national champion, or would you take winning the national rally, the modified section in Donegal? I'm sure you'd be going towards the Donegal one.
I'm not saying nothing bad about the national championship, yeah. But now I would give the eight rounds to clinch the Donegal national.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's going to be the big target for the year, though.
Definitely. Hey, we did take it. We had a plan in place at the start of the year, and it didn't just happen overnight. This, like, it was a 6 months period, and that was my plan. Get 7 or 8 rounds into me, mm-hmm. and focus then on Donegal, come in really hot and try and put it up to the rest of them then.
But John's going to do Donegal as well and the R5, so where does that leave you? Who's going to call the nuts?
Well, I don't know, maybe John can do both because he's pretty good. James McNulty's going to come right in to me on the escort again, and he done a great job, and we set some great times last year in Donegal, and we were only getting heated up, so I think there's more. James is well capable of reading the notes when John's away having fun as R5.
Yeah. When you were a young cub, when you still are a young cub, Mark, when you were a bit younger and you started under rallying, who was the guys that you used to watch? Who did you look up to? Who did you want to aspire to be?
I don't know why. There was a lot of guys. Like, there was a lot of guys about my house, like about Gerton there, like Paul Geller himself there, and I really did look up to Paul and Robbie Peoples, the two guys. Like, I was very, very impressed with them guys. There was also Damien Geller there, was a great, great winner and a great champion too. Yeah. He won the national. But it's just like ourselves, like, God rest Manus, like, the two of us come up at the same time through the sport. So we all had them guys on our radars, and we were like, whenever we get into cars, that's who we want to be beating there, like, you know. So
you better mention the rest of the team that was there at the weekend before we finish here.
Aye, well, big thanks to Jared McGrinner and Sean O'Donnell and Ryan Gormley and JP Boyle, and we had Enda McCormick, and we had Liam Doherty down just giving us a hand out too, making tea and stuff, so they were helpful, and the two girls, Michaela and Noelle, they were brilliant. But big shout out, you know, to Ronan. Hey, that's why we're kind of on here this evening. Nothing would have happened here, only Ronan coming board with Ron Hill. And Ron Hill is one of the biggest distributors, bakery distributors in Donegal, with over 25 local and national bakeries. Yeah. So with him being on board, he brought it all kind of to life now, and there's a real good buzz about it.
Yeah, an exciting year ahead, Mark.
It's going to be a real good year.
Good stuff. Well, listen, we wish you all the best for 2023, you and John and the rest of the team, okay?
Thanks.
Yeah, there you go. That's Mark Alcorn. Many thanks for coming in, Mark, and best wishes for the rest of the year. Okay, we're going to go for another quick break. When we come back, we will be hearing from Niall O'Regan, who is the head of coach education with the FAI. This weekend, the FAI's Women's Football Conference comes to Letterkenny.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, with all the equipment you need to get fit this year, including home gym equipment like weights, skipping ropes, resistance bands and exercise balls.
And you're welcome back to The Score. Moving on to football, coaches from all over the country are coming to Donegal this weekend as the FAI hosts the Women's Football Conference in Letterkenny. Women's football is riding on a high at the moment after the Irish ladies qualified for the World Cup. That, of course, come about with the help of Milford's Amber Barrett, who scored in the playoff. Among the speakers this weekend will be Mark Canham, Director of Football with the FAI, and Senior Manager Vera Pugh. Coaches, as we said, from all over the country will be here in Donegal at the Radisson Blue Hotel on Saturday and Sunday. FAI's head of coach education is Niall Regan. He's been telling Highland's Chris Ashmore about the conference and the huge interest now in the women's game.
Well, Niall, no doubt about it, the World Cup qualification has lifted the whole profile of the women's game. not least because of the television exposure in getting there. And no doubt this weekend's conference is going to attract more attention than normal.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's a very exciting time. I think for all of us who can think back to the men's side of the house when we qualified for our first major tournament, the excitement that that brought. And I think similarly with the spectators and the numbers that they're quoting in terms of hopefully having a 80,000-seater stadium full house in the first game of the competition in the summer, it's going to be very exciting. And that's certainly the case with the numbers that we're expecting, with over 100 coaches involved in the women's game coming to Letterkenny this weekend.
So this weekend, what can we expect, and who are the main speakers who are going to be there?
So the main speakers this weekend are going to be Mark Canham, who's the director of football, who's responsible for everything from grassroots all the way up to international football. Mark's been in the role now for over 6 months, and he's going to be discussing the football pathways plan that he's going to be sort of researching and developing over the next number of months to sort of launch a new strategy plan for the development of football. We're going to have Vera Powell. Vera Powell, the women's senior manager, is going to be there as the keynote speaker. We're also going to have Eileen Gleeson. Eileen Gleeson was recently appointed the head of women's football. And we also have Sarah Murray, who's going to be a guest speaker, who worked in Brighton Football Club and has worked in football for the past 20 years in the area of psychology. So it's going to be very exciting. And that's all on the Saturday. And then on the Sunday, we have Republic of Ireland women's 17 coach James Scott, who's going to host a practical demonstration. So it's theory and practical, so it's going to be a very exciting weekend in Letterkenny.
And the people who are coming to this conference, who are they representing? Where are they from?
There'll be coaches from all over the country. We've people travelling up from the Kingdom and Kerry, from Cork, from Waterford, from pretty much most counties will be represented, where you'll have people involved in the women's game. This conference has been going on now for 4 years. It started in Dublin, moved to Cork, and was in Galway last year. So the whole idea is that it will be a roaming event and move around the country to allow coaches locally benefit from it being on their doorstep, but also to give the coaches around the country a social opportunity to come and visit another county and network and socialise in their setting. So it's worked really well. It's grown every year, but I think with qualification to the Women's World Cup, it'll certainly be a big event this weekend.
Now, the fact that the Republic of Ireland have qualified for the World Cup, there has been investment in the game, structures have been put into place, things are a lot different now than they were 10 or 15 years ago. So there is very much a plan to promote the game and to develop it further.
Definitely, and one of the most important components probably behind the scenes is the legacy programme. So when you do qualify for any major tournaments, one of the most important things we do as an NGB is look to sort of build on the legacy of that qualification. And obviously the growth in the women's game will be significant, just simply based on the numbers, the amount of young people that will be watching the Women's World Cup, the amount of spectators that may have never watched the Women's World Cup, but when they see the game and the quality of the football that's now being played, you're going to see a lot more people getting involved as a volunteer, possibly investing in the semi-professional setups in our clubs in the country. So it's really important for us, and we've started that process now with a lot of work behind the scenes in terms of regular meetings to plan what our legacy will be from qualification and building on that.
And from a Donegal perspective, obviously there are girls from here who are in that team and who have already grabbed the headlines. That'll certainly stimulate even more interest in this part of the world. And if we look at the game in general, the SSE, or Tristy Women's Premier Division, is set to get more exposure this season. I think TG Carr is covering 12 games live. Television coverage is so important.
100%. And even ourselves talking today, it's so important to get every medium, whether it be radio, TV, print, the interest is going to grow significantly, and it's important that we take every opportunity to allow that happen. And I've been involved in the women's game for over 20 years from my previous roles, and my last role as a head coach was with Cork City Women's. And just seeing the growth and development in the past 10 years from when I stepped away into this role, it's just been significant, and slowly but surely you're going to see that even more so with the success from Noel King and Shelburne competing in Europe last season. And hopefully it won't be too long before we'll start to see our club sides getting into the major knockout stages of European competition. So TV certainly helps, and it's going to be very exciting for us to see so many games live.
So obviously some parts of the country stronger than other in terms of grassroots women's football. Here in Donegal, We've seen some teams come and go. We've had local leagues. Some years have been stronger than others. So long term, no doubt the plan is to have leagues in every part of the country and have a tiered system with the SSE or Tristy Women's Premier Division at the top.
100%. And I think realistically, you look at the growth and development and the introduction of new roles in the last number of years. We've now got Brian Dorian as a regional high performance coach in Donegal, specifically focusing on player development, coach development in both the boys and women's game. One of the key ambitions of the FAI over the last number of years was to synergise across all roles. So rather than having individuals solely focusing on the women's game, it's now part and parcel of every single person's role. And that's really helped in terms of KPI strategies, in terms of implementing more and getting more players, getting more coaches. And I think the numbers in coaching, you look at it, in 2016 we had 10 women with a UEFA licence. We now finished last year with 300 women with UEFA qualifications. And your own Breed McGinty, who's there in Donegal, has worked her way up through the pathway and is going to be moving on to the second highest coaching licence in the world, and the Elite UA licence. So it's really exciting times, both in player and coach development, and we genuinely expect and are working towards supporting more girls playing football and more women being involved as coaches.
And finally, Niall, just in conclusion, this conference this weekend, will there be any policy decisions taken, or is it more about discussions, workshops, and getting opinion and maybe formulating future policy?
It's very much about sharing knowledge and experience and expertise. It's about explaining what the plans are going to be for the development of the women's games, but also engaging people within the room to give them a voice to identify what they feel locally. And that's one of the most important things for us, that it's not just an independent strategy, a one-shoe-fit-all. It's about making every region, every county bespoke to itself, providing the sports that they need locally, and all of the coaches in attendance get CPD. So even if you're not currently working in the women's game, it'd be a great opportunity for coaches from the men's side and the women's side to come along. If people want to attend the conference, they simply need to register by emailing orla.harran@fai.ie, and we'd be very welcome to people arriving on the day. And we're expecting over 100 coaches, so we're really looking forward to the event at the weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be a big event at the Radisson Blue and Letterkenny as the FAI bring their Women's Football Conference to Letterkenny on Saturday and Sunday. Staying with football locally, this Sunday, Buncrana Hearts host Galway side Salthill Devon at Orchard Park, where they will chase a place in the quarterfinals of the FAI Junior Cup. The Inishowen Premier Division side progressed in the previous round with a comfortable 6-0 win over Montpellier in Buncrana. And another home win will send them into the last eight. Buncrana manager is Gary Duffy. He's been looking ahead to the game with Highlands' Chris Ashmore.
Well, Gary, it's really great to get to this stage of this famous competition. And no doubt you want to negotiate another hurdle to get through to what would be the quarterfinals.
Yeah, Chris, another big game to look forward to in Castle Park. And looking forward to it we are. And it's definitely another hurdle. And we'll get into the unknown again. So we'll prepare as best as we can and give it a crack.
Well, last time out, you thumped Montpellier FC of Dublin 6-0. I don't think anybody could really have forecast such a scoreline. But one thing is for sure, this time out, it's going to be an awful lot tougher.
Yeah, look, the reports we got back from Montpellier was that they were a very decent side, played some lovely football. They were unbeaten in so many games and won in cups and leagues the last number of years. So, look, much the same this time, but probably with more quality by all accounts. This team seemed to be very good. They have a couple of very good players that we're aware of, played at senior level, and they've got to the last four of the competition. Last year, the goalkeeper got sent off early in the game. It was probably the cause of them being knocked out in the semi-final. So look, we're well aware of what's coming to Castle Park on Sunday.
Yeah, so have you actually had them watched, or is it people that you know down in Galway who've given you the background?
Yeah, we've got them watched, and we've got a few match analysis of different leagues and different teams that have played them the last maybe 4 to 6 weeks. So we've done as much as we possibly can, Chris, on them.
Yeah, when we were looking forward to the previous game, I spoke to you about the strength of the personnel on the bench and how important it can be. And I suppose when you're coasting to victory or your 4 or 5 goals up, you can take people off the bench for a different reason. this time around, you know, somebody coming off the bench could be key. It could be somebody who could be a game changer, or somebody who can help you maybe employ different tactics. So different options. It's vital to have that variety of players as backup there on the bench.
Yeah, without a doubt. Look, and we have a number of them for the first time in a long time in Castle Park, that we have a bit of depth in the squad, and good depth it is as well in different areas. Like we were in Glengad last Sunday in the league, and we took a player off the bench and won us the game. So that's where we're at, and long may it last.
Yeah, and that win over Glengad, a key victory there. You're second in the Premier League at the moment. I think it's unbeaten in 10 games. 5 behind Mayville, 2 games in hand. You know, it's hard to beat that winning momentum. You're going into this game full of confidence.
Okay, without a doubt. We've done a lot of talking here about Salt Hill and opponents and all that, but look, the group of players that I have in the changing room at the minute are as honest and hard-working as you'll get, and I have no doubt come Sunday these boys will empty everything that they have for the cause, and if that's good enough, to bring us to the next round, well, so be it. And if it's not, we'll wish Salt Hill the best of luck in the next round.
Yeah, and I mean, you have to instill a belief in your players that, you know, no matter who they're playing, you know, you can be good enough. Certainly your form suggests it. So you've every reason to go in there on a very positive note and not fearing the opposition.
No, without a doubt. Look, if you go into all games, but more so in the league, you're looking at form. But we're in all the cups. We've still got an outside chance in the league. So when you're looking at your form going into big games, look, that's something that has to be taken serious. Our form's as good at the minute, but like as I said to the boys last week, it can change just like that. Football's a cruel sport at times, but look, when you're winning, you've got to enjoy it and you've got to embrace the challenges that come with winning games and being successful.
Now, it's a 1:30 start at Castle Park, extra time and penalties if necessary. If memory serves me right, you won the Ulster Junior Cup last time out with a penalty shootout, so somebody like Rory Kelly can really come into his own if called upon.
Yeah, okay. We all know what Rory's capable of when it comes to the penalty shootouts. That was a great day for us in McGinn Park against a great final, and we won it in penalties, and obviously Rory was a hero that day. He saved, I think it was 3 and scored 1. So look, coming to the penalties, we know Kelly will give us a chance of saving 1 or 2, that's for sure.
And finally, Gary, home draw, great to get it again. And can the crowd there, can they be the 12th man?
Of course. There was big numbers in Castle Park against Montpellier. We were 3 up at half-time, but look, the crowd up at the upper end of the road was magnificent and cheered the lads on, and that helps them, young and old. That drives you on that extra bit. But the people in the town have been brilliant to the club so far since I've come in, and given everything that we've asked and helped us along and turned up to big games and supported us and keep saying good things about us. So hopefully they can do the same on Sunday.
Yeah, and hopefully they do the good things on the pitch as well. Buncrana Hearts looking to make it to the quarterfinals of the FAI Junior Cup. That game kicks off at 1:30. Chris Ashmore is going to be heading down to watch that one for Highland Radio Sport this weekend. Some of the other local soccer games which are happening this weekend, the leaders in the Premier Division in Inishowen are Mayville Celtic. They're taking on Clonmany Shamrocks. Mayville will be looking to open up the gap now to 8 points on Buncrana at the top. And the leaders in Division 1 are Cairn Dunna FC. They currently lead by 3 points at the top with 2 games in hand. Ayr Reserves is their opposition on Sunday. In the Donegal Junior League, the big game of the weekend comes in Division 1 on Saturday. It's a top of the table clash with Glenay United up against Old Town Celtic. The leaders in Division 2 are Funtown Harps. They make the trip to Killybegs to play St Catharines. Couple of clinkers on the way as well in the Premier Division, the Donegal Junior League on Sunday, with the top 4 all facing each other. The leaders, Fannagh United, are taking on KJ Rovers, who sit 3rd, and 2nd place Kilmacrenan and Celtic go to Kopenay Rovers, who are 4th. In Division 1, the leaders are Swilly Rovers. They're going to make the trip to Drumkeen United, and Cranford are the leaders in Division 2. They're also on the road as they go to Dromahol. There's an Ulster Senior League game taking place this evening. It's getting underway shortly at the Dry Arch Park. Bunnaghy United are playing Derry City Reserves. If Bunnaghy were to win that, they would go 6 points ahead of Coghill Celtic with a game in hand. That game in hand for Coghill will be played on Sunday against Finn Harps under-21s. And in the Irish League Championship this weekend, the North West sides are both on the road. Derrickview are heading off to Anna United and Institute are taking on Loughgall. A couple of big events in athletics happening this weekend as well. Patsy McGonigal is going to have a busy one watching all the action and following North West competitors who are hoping to do well and lift medals, in particular Finn Valley, who are taking part in the National League final on Saturday at Athlone. And then there's a host of Donegal competitors going to the National Intermediate and Masters Cross Country in Kilkenny on Sunday. Also on Sunday, Mark English is back in action. He will run in the Melrose event in New York. Okay, we go back to Gaelic Games, and in hurling, Donegal are looking to make it 2 wins on the bounce at the start of their Division 2 campaign this weekend when they head to Roy Slip to face in London. Donegal is boosted by the return of Ronan McDermott, but Mickey McCann is very wary of the London challenge. He's looking for an improvement from his side, but they're also welcoming the trip away from home.
Good for bonding. It's just all the logistics around it. Oshin is hard to get right for the flights and times and all that. We went to Warwickshire last year and it didn't work out great for us. So I think we're better organised this time. And look, we will go over with a tough test ahead of us. But as I say, it's good to get away and get the boys together. And we'll make the most of it after the game. It's a bit of bonding, you know. So looking forward to the trip away.
And you're going into the game, Mickey, off the back of a good result last weekend against Sligo. Were you happy with how that panned out at the O'Donnell Park?
Well, after the 2 points, Josh, and I suppose that certain aspect of the game wasn't good, and there's a lot of unforced errors, stuff we need to tidy up on, and if you're playing the rest of the teams in this division, it probably wouldn't be good enough to get you 2 points, so we'll have to up it a bit. But at the same time, there's a lot of them young boys starting debuts, you know, so to get 2 points on the board, we're happy enough, and plenty of room for improvement, and it'll be needed this week against a good London team who we've seen last week playing, you know.
Yeah, and many changes going to be made this weekend, Mickey. How did everybody come through that game unscathed?
They did, aye, and we've Ron McDermott back, who was in the States last, away for a week in the States, and Luke White probably got slight hamstring injury on Thursday night, probably pushing to get back in the nets. We'll probably go through a fitness test, Josh, and show that with full clean bill of health for the weekend.
Yeah. So what about London then, Mickey? Yes, they lost to Tyrone the last day, but I know speaking to a few people the last couple of weeks and yourself as well, you were suggesting that London are going to be a stronger team than what they were last year.
They are, and they had a strong team with them on last Saturday evening. We're up to watch them in Tyrone, and look, they were two very good sides, Oisin, and they're very impressive, to be honest. And Tyrone just grinded them down in the last 3 or 4 minutes. We probably just that wee bit fitter, and they just had a wee bit more drive maybe to won for the first match back without Jim and Casey and a home game in Dungannon. So they just had that wee bit of more drive to want it, but not much in the two teams, Oisin. And as I say, just be going by watching it, our performance would need to be up a wee notch if we're to get anything over London or against Tyrone, you know.
Yeah. Well, if you were to up it a notch and you were to get that result in London, Mickey, 2 wins from two at the start would put you in a good footing, would it, for staying in the division?
I definitely would, actually. And, you know, as I say, second and third get into a semi-final spot. So if you get 4 points on the table, you know, and picked up anything after that, you could push towards the top end. But at the same time, we know it's not going to be easy getting another 2 points. We could be still sitting at 2 points at the end of this league. So we're really going to try our best to get something out of the game over in London. We know that London are beatable, but it's going to take a massive effort. And as I say, another 2 points would be great to have it on the board after 2 games, 4 points. But it's going to be hard got, Oisin, but it'll set you in great stead if you do get it.
As you said, you were impressed with Tyrone last weekend, but the other tie last week was Meath against Wicklow, an impressive one by Meath. They're going to be contenders as well, are they?
They definitely are, Oisin, only down from 2A in the Joe McDonagh Cup team. So, to be honest, I think Meath's probably a level above whatever's in the division, and they'll be not going to go straight back up again. Now, in saying that, everybody will be trying to give them a good test, but they're definitely hot favourites to go back up. And Wicklow are no easy pushovers, Oisin, and they pushed them aside by 10 points just there. So Meath will probably be hot favourites to go to win this division.
At what stage do you play Meath, Mickey?
We play Meath after London. We're away for Meath and we're home to Tyrone and Wicklow then.
Well, listen, tough games lying ahead, but the important one is trying to get a win this weekend, Mickey, in London and Roy Slip. It's always good to make the trip across the water. 1 o'clock is the start, and hopefully when we speak to you after five on Sunday, Mickey, we're talking about that victory for Donegal. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Joshie.
There you go, that's Mickey McCann hoping to win in London with Donegal on Sunday. 1 o'clock is the start time there. Just some other fixtures involving North West sides on the hurling front. Tyrone, they have a trip to Wicklow on Sunday afternoon, and Derry, who are playing in Division 2A, they are ticking on Offaly. We did of course start the show talking about the Under 20 Development League for the Leo Murphy Cup, where Donegal are playing Derry on Saturday. We can't forget about Tyrone. They're also in action against Meath in Dungannon on Saturday. Tyrone are playing in the Under 20 Development Hurling League Round 1 against Armagh Saturday, and Donegal are also in the Minor Hurling Cup as they play Antrim at the Donegal GA Centre. That one starts at 12 noon. So there you go, that is it from the Score programme for tonight. Hope you enjoyed the programme. Don't forget, if you missed any of the show, you'll be able to recap on the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. Chris Ashmore is back with our next sport tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news. So what's left of your Thursday, enjoy it, have a good one.